Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
See, this is one of the great practical applications of this whole thing about the will of God. It's that, you know, my life does have meaning. My life does have purpose. You might look at yourself and say, well, you know, I feel like I'm worthless. Like my life is insignificant. No, it's not. God created you. He created you with a purpose. If you're in Christ, you know that. You're beginning to know that. You're starting to understand that. If you're not in Christ, you're outside of that purpose, but you can come inside by receiving Christ.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Ephesians. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, in a message titled, The Mystery of His Will. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Oh, it's just random. There's no rhyme or reason to it. And of course, people say that that's true about life as well. They say, oh, well, you know, life doesn't really have any meaning. There is no purpose. These are the, you know, philosophically oriented people, you know, tend to say these kinds of things. The interesting thing is they say that and they want it to be applied generally to everybody who's listening to them, but they really don't live according to that when it comes to their own personal experience. You know, the person who is very insistent that life is meaningless, if you turn around and apply that same truth to them, they say, well, wait, no. Now, of course, that my life has meaning. My life has purpose. I'm significant. I'm important. So it's a good theory to hold maybe if you want to appear to be smart, but it doesn't really work in real life as so many of these so-called intelligent theories, they're like that. History has a purpose. And God has given us who believe in Christ, He has given us an understanding of where things are headed. So this is what we know. This is part of the blessing of being a child of God. One of the spiritual blessings is that we know the future. And think about how many people want to know the future. You know, people pay to go to somebody that they think has the ability to tell them the future. People are always wondering, what about the future? I wonder where things are going. I wonder where it's all headed. I wonder what's going to happen. Well, God has let us in on that secret. He's told us where things are headed. And I want you to notice this, though, that here in this ninth verse, he also says that this is all according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Now, three times in this portion of scripture that we're looking at, verses 3 through 14, three different times Paul uses this kind of language. Previously, he said this, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now here, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. And a little bit later, he will say, according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will. Paul is using this terminology here because what he's wanting us to understand is that God is sovereign. And when we say God is sovereign, what we mean is that God is in absolute control. And what God has determined is going to happen, and there's no possible way that it will be thwarted. It can't be stopped. God's will is unstoppable. As a matter of fact, there are different Greek words that we translate into English as will. And one of them is more the idea of desires or wishes. So say, for example, where we read that God is not willing that anyone should perish. God doesn't desire that anyone should perish. So we know people will perish, but God doesn't want that. But there's a stronger word that's also translated will from the Greek. And that word means his will as absolutely certain. It just cannot be averted in any way, shape, or form. It is going to be accomplished. the things that we're talking about here, they are according to his good pleasure and according to the counsel of his will. And these things are absolutely certain. You can stake your very life on the things that are declared here. This is what is going to happen. This is where things are going. You want to know the future? Well, God tells us the future in the pages of the Bible. That's one of the amazing things about the Bible. The Bible tells us the future. It's the only religious book that tells us the future. And what it tells us can be tested over against reality. Now, other books claim to be, you know, prophetic in the sense of predictive or telling people about the future. But it's all, you know, fanciful and obviously mythical. And it's very vague and it's just sort of general, like, oh, you know, it's all going to be good later without any details. The Bible tells you the future and it gives you very specific details so that when it happens, you can look back and say, oh, amazing, it happened exactly like the Bible had said that it would happen. And we have tons of what we call fulfilled prophecy behind us that we can test and verify that, yes, indeed, the Bible said this hundreds of years before it happened, and this is what happened. This is how it happened. Yes, and it happened exactly like the Bible said. So having hundreds of prophecies already fulfilled in history, we can look at the ones that are yet to be fulfilled, and we can have confidence that just like we saw those previous ones come to pass, we're going to see the ones that are still ahead of us come to pass. Because God is sovereign, because God is orchestrating the affairs of the world. He's leading history toward a glorious goal. So he has made known to us the mystery of his will. And just exactly what is that? Verse 10 tells us that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. So this is God's ultimate purpose. The mystery of his will. What is it? That in the fullness of time, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, a dispensation means a period of time in which God works in a particular way. So right now we are, if you want to use the dispensational terminology, we could say we're in the dispensation of grace. God is working in the world right now, and His method is through grace. He's saving men and women by grace. The dispensation of grace will end at a certain point. And there's a dispensation of wrath that will come. We talk about the great tribulation period. That would be the beginning of the dispensation of wrath. But then there's the dispensation, as he says here, it's the dispensation of the fullness of times. So now's the dispensation of grace. There's a disposition of wrath coming. But then there's the dispensation of the fullness of times. What is that? That's when he gathers together in one all things in Christ. That's where history's going. That's what God is working toward. As one Bible version translates it, the universe is being brought into unity in Christ. You see, the cosmos, the universe, is presently fragmented. There is discord in the universe presently, but that is going to be altered. One person translated this passage like this. He said, what is being described is the entire harmony of the universe, which shall no longer contain alien or discordant elements, but rather all the parts shall find their center and bond of union in Christ. See, right now the universe contains these discordant elements. There's fragmentation. There's a lack of harmony. But God's plan is to bring everything back into harmony under the immediate authority of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is presently the ruler of the world, but he's ruling today, in a sense, from a distance. And you could say in some ways he's ruling indirectly. He's allowing things to happen that aren't out of his control, but they're not, in a sense, under his immediate control, in that his will is not being done. But there's coming a day when his rule is going to be immediately over everything. There will be no discord. There will be no other wills. There will be no other voices. There will be no further division or opposition. That's where things are headed. And that's the mystery that God has made known to us. The mystery of his will. To bring everything under the authority of Christ. Now, I have to mention this real briefly. When it says all things, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that he might gather together in one in Christ, all things. So when we say all things, when we read all things here, does that include Satan, demons, and unrepentant sinners? Now, I bring this up because this is becoming a popular view again today. This is known as universalism, and it was popular at various times throughout history. These things kind of, they come to the surface and they're popular for a while, and then they sort of submerge, and then they resurface at certain points. And universalism is beginning to resurface a bit. And this is the reason why it's resurfacing. Because people in our culture are so adamantly opposed to the idea of a God who judges sin. They're so appalled by the suggestion that there is a hell and things like that, because that's the mentality out in the culture. People in the church, theologians and so forth, wanting to accommodate and wanting to please people, they say, well, wait a second. No, it's not as bad as you think. Look, actually, in the end, God's going to work it all out, and nobody's ever going to get judged. And there really isn't a hell, and nobody's going to go to hell. And even Satan himself, even he will be brought back into God's family, and we'll all live one happy, eternal life together. And they say, look, right here it says all things. What could all things possibly mean except all things? Must mean everything. Well, no, it doesn't mean that. Because you see, you can't take one little statement of Scripture and use it to oppose the rest of what the Bible says. You have to fit it into the totality of the biblical message. This is how people come up with false teaching. They take one thing out of its context, and then they build their view around the one thing. The Bible is clear that there are going to be those who are outside where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth versus those who are inside where there is blessing. So what does it mean then when it says that all things in heaven and earth are going to be brought together under the authority of Christ? It's referring to those who presently are here on earth who are in Christ, and those who presently are in Christ but are in heaven. We're all in Christ, but we're separated presently by space and time. There's coming a day when Jesus is going to bring heaven and earth together, and believers in heaven and believers on earth are going to be united into one big, glorious, eternal family. And included in that will undoubtedly be the holy angels and whatever other creatures there might be in heaven. There's angels, which the word simply means messengers. There's cherubim, there's seraphim. We don't know the details of all that. But that's what's being talked about. So universalism is not a biblical truth. It is a distortion of the truth, and it's a compromise with those who just simply do not want to believe what the Bible says. So this is what Paul is reminding us of here. One of our many spiritual blessings is that we have been let in on this secret. We know the future. We know where things are headed. We know how the story ends, and we know it ends beautifully. We really do live happily ever after. It's not a fairy tale. It's reality. It's reality. Now, someone might say, well, sounds like a fairy tale to me. Give me some evidence that this is really happening. I can't see anything. Doesn't look to me like everything is moving toward this glorious end that you're talking about. I can't see anything that indicates that that's really the case. Well, it's because you're not looking hard enough. There are lots of things, but I'll give you one thing. I'll give you one thing that, to me, irrefutably shows the sovereignty of God over history. It's one thing. There are many things, but I'm just going to give you one. Think about this, ponder it, study it. It's one people group. It's one nation. It's the Jewish people. It's the land of Israel. You see, the Jews themselves, the fact that they're living in their ancient homeland, this defies, it defies everything we know historically from a natural standpoint. It only makes sense if the Bible's true, because what has happened to Israel historically is exactly what the Bible said would happen to them thousands of years ago. And it's happened just exactly like the scripture said. 2,700 years ago, God showed Ezekiel, the prophet, a valley full of dry bones. He said, Ezekiel, can these bones be made to live? Ezekiel said, Lord, you know. Doesn't look like it to me. God said, these dry bones, this is the whole house of Israel. And this is what Israel sees itself as, a valley of dried bones. But God goes on and he brings those bones together. He gives this vision to Ezekiel. He brings those bones together and they come together as a skeleton. And then he puts the muscle and the sinew and then the skin. And then ultimately he breathes life into it. And he says, I'm going to bring them out of their graves. 2,700 years ago, that was prophesied. Or 2,600 years ago. 600 years after that, the Jews were driven from their homeland and they were out of their land for 2,000 years. 2,000 years. That is so long. I mean, you know, think about it. Our nation, I mean, think back to our founding fathers. Maybe you think of George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or Madison or Hamilton or you know, Ben Franklin or these guys. I mean, these guys are like from the ancient past. You know, they just, man, those guys lived a long time ago, right? The Jews were out of their land for 2,000 years. But just like the prophets declared, God would bring them back. They would appear to be as hopeless as a valley of dry bones. But God brought them back together. And when you look at just the history of Israel, when you look at the history of the Jewish people, this is where you clearly see the hand of God directing history. And you say, okay, well, that's fine, but what in the world do the Jews have to do with Jesus? Well, Jesus is the King of the Jews. He's the King that the nation rejected, but he's the King that will come back to reign over that nation from Jerusalem. And it is then that all things in heaven and on earth will be brought together under his authority. The church in heaven, the church on earth, the holy angels, the ancient people of God, Israel, who will no doubt be, in a sense, connected to the church, but yet at the same time, there's that distinction. So you see, we have evidence. Those who say that, oh, it's all random, it's going nowhere, it means nothing, they don't have any proof of that. That's just their theory. We say, no, history's going in a direction. There's a plan. There's a beginning. There's an end. And we've got things that we can point to, things that were written centuries ago but are happening before our very eyes. And so, in closing, three things I want to leave you with real quickly. Number one, history is not random. It is purposeful and heading in a God-ordained direction. Number two, your life is not random. It is purposeful. Your life has meaning. God created you with a purpose. And for those of us who are in Christ, God is leading our lives. God is leading your life. He's leading you into the things that He ordained for you to walk in. He has included you in His eternal story, and He has let you know in advance how it all turns out. See, this is one of the great practical applications of this whole thing about the will of God. It's that, you know, my life does have meaning. My life does have purpose. You might look at yourself and say, well, you know, I feel like I'm worthless. Like my life is insignificant. No, it's not. God created you. He created you with a purpose. If you're in Christ, you know that. You're beginning to know that. You're starting to understand that. If you're not in Christ, you're outside of that purpose, but you can come inside by receiving Christ. And then thirdly and finally, there's no need to worry or fear. God has everything in control. God has it all in control. You know, when we look at the world, you ever look and wonder, where in the world is it all headed? It just seems to be getting crazier all the time. And that can easily strike fear in us. But if we understand that, no, you know what? It's all going to be good. God's already declared it. He's promised it. He's shown us the end from the beginning. He's told us that everything is going to come under the authority of Christ ultimately. So I have no need to worry or fear. I can just rest in the fact that God is in control. And I can do that with world affairs, and I can do that with my own personal life as well. That's the blessing. I can do it on both levels because it's true on both levels. God has a universal will that He's working out, and it's unstoppable. And because you're God's child, He has a will for you, and He's working that out as well. And you just need to rest in Him, trust Him, and let Him bring to pass what He intends. That, to me, is very comforting. Remember those last words of the psalm: "Be still and know that I am God."
And now let's join Pastor Brian and Cheryl in the studio as they share about this month's resource.
So this month's book is Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands, and it's by Paul David Tripp. And Brian, I know that you really enjoy the writing of Paul David Tripp.
I do. And Paul is, he's a great writer, and he's become a friend, and I just really appreciate him. And this book, Paul's written many books, and this is one of his most popular books. And the subtitle is People in Need of Change, Helping People in Need of Change. So the emphasis in this book is on body ministry, on Christians ministering to one another. I think this is just a fantastic book, and I think it's going to be very helpful for people to know that God has gifted you and God has called you, and He will enable you to minister to others. And so we encourage you to pick up your copy of Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands by Paul David Tripp.
That's this month's resource on Back to Basics. You can order the book, Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands by Paul David Tripp, by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of it, and then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the book, Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands by Paul David Tripp, to help you discover where change is needed in your own life and the lives of others. It's our way to say thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Ephesians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.